It's good to see everybody out to that home group meeting for tonight, and we'll go ahead and get into the teaching for tonight. And we'll be looking at John chapter 5, 1 through 13, and we will go ahead and look at a couple of points from last month to get our spirit focused in the right direction. So last month we looked at Jesus' second miracle, and then there was a man who had a son who was afflicted with this sickness, amen? And so we begin to look at signs and wonders. Now, I'm glad you're setting down, because a lot of Christians don't know that signs and wonders is not, repeat, not God's intention, you know, for our daily living and walk with the Lord. Signs and wonders are not God's intention. Jesus did signs and wonders so that the people would believe and see that he was the Son of God. And so that is why Jesus did signs and wonders. Who has 2 Corinthians 5 and 7? Okay.
For we walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen. So we walk by faith, not by sight. So we walk not by signs and wonders, but we walk by faith. And so Jesus did signs and wonders so that the people would believe and see that he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. And even that's what the Bible tells us, that, you know, the Greeks, you know, he's talking about the difference between Greeks and Jews. And he says that the Jews always require a sign. But he says, don't be like the Jews. You don't need a sign, because we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? We also, you know, we looked at the man who had a son who was sick, and of course this was Jesus' second miracle, and we started looking at faith a little bit. Who has Galatians 5 and 6?
Me.
Galatians 5 and 6. Okay, Morgan.
For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love.
Amen. Wow, did you get the end of that? Galatians 5, 6 says that our faith worketh by love. Oftentimes when I go overseas, and, you know, we're being in Ukraine and Romania and Bulgaria at the end of the, around the end of the month and stuff, but I'll go overseas and people will come up and say, well, Pastor Dave, will you pray for me? And I said, yeah. And I said, well, you know, what do you want? He says, well, I want God to increase my faith. And I went, really? And they're like, yeah, okay, well, wonderful. So I start praying for him. God, help this man to be a more loving husband and a more No. I want you to pray for my faith. But it's not about faith. It's about love, because our faith works by love. So the more love we have, guess what?
The more faith
we're going to have. So if we have no faith, or we think we have no faith, maybe we ought not to check our faith as much as we need to check our love meter, amen? And see if we do love people, because faith, according to the Bible, I mean, and of course the Bible is never wrong, that faith worketh by love, amen? You know, and we also looked at, as I said, one of my most favorite verses of the Bible is Romans 10:17. But we also looked at and started kind of talking about what faith was. So who has Romans 10:17?
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen. So now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I like Romans 10:17 in the Greek. In the Greek, it reads like this. Now, faith cometh by hearing a word from God, not and hearing by the word of God. Because if you go to church, you see all kind of people sitting there in church, and they hear the word of God all day, and they have no faith. So faith does not come to us because we hear preaching or we read the Bible. I mean, when I was first a Christian, man, this is going to sound kind of strange, but I used to put the Bible on at night as I'm sleeping and saying I can do osmosis or whatever. No, that's, you know, doesn't work that way, you know, because faith cometh by hearing a word from God. And so, you know, I've determined that faith is not mine, amen? Faith is not ours. Faith is God's. And God gives us that faith. And so Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing a word from God. And so when we hear God speak, guess what we get? We get faith. We get faith. Now Sasha and his boys and his wife and his daughter, Elizabeth, is up in Middleburg, Virginia. They got on this airplane and they flew, to the States. Now that required faith, amen? Faith in the pilot, faith in the mechanics, But that's not the same faith, the same type of faith that God gives us when we hear Him speak. So we have to hear God speak to us. And I'm going to talk about faith a little more. So we have to hear God speak to us. Faith is not ours. We can't save up faith or faith. We can't store up faith, none of that stuff. It's when we go ahead and need faith, then God speaks to us and says, Allison, I got that. It's okay. Relax. I got it. And He infuses us with faith. Whew. Actually, He infuses us with everything that we need to do that which He wants us to do. Everything. Not just the faith. He gives us the provision. He gives us the grace. He gives us the mercy. He gives us everything that we need to do that which He wants us to do. Not what we want to do, but that which He wants us to do. Amen?
That's right.
So those were a couple of points that we looked at. Amen? And then the son was healed because the father got to Jesus. Amen? Not because of the man's faith. Amen? The son was not healed because of the man's faith, but it's because he got to Jesus. It does not matter how much faith we have or how much faith we do not have. What matters is, can we get to Jesus? Can we get to Jesus? Can we get His attention? Can we get to Jesus? We get hung up on, I have faith, I don't have faith. And, faith is not ours. Faith is God. But if we could get to Jesus, if we can get to Jesus, then we will get all of the faith that we need. It is not our faith that does the miracle or the healing. Am I right? It's Jesus. It's Jesus that does that miracle. Our faith, the faith that God gives us, we believe then. We believe, and then Jesus takes it from there. Wow. Remember that a miracle is supernatural. Now, my leg, God is healing my leg right now. Right now, God is healing my leg.
Amen.
Dr. Marr took off some ugly bone spurs. I can show you on my phone. I got ugly bone spurs. But right now, Dr. Marr did the surgery, but God is healing my leg right now. Because a miracle, is a miracle is something supernatural by the power of God, and a healing is natural by the power of God. God is healing my leg, not a miracle, but God is healing my leg. And this is where it really comes into play, is God's will is the balance. People say, well, why doesn't that person get healed? I don't know. If I knew that, I wouldn't be sitting here, that's for sure. I'd be somewhere else. But God's will is always the balance in healing or not healing. Why did God heal that little boy? Well, that was, it was God's will for that to happen. Amen. There we are handling and operating in the sovereignty of God, which is that is something pretty deep. But anyways, amen. So that's what we kind of talked about last week. So now we're going to go ahead and we're going to look at John chapter 5, 1 through 13, and we're going to look at his third miracle. Now I'm going to read some of the notes here, and then I'm going to talk about some things. But so we're going to go ahead and we'll start. We stopped third verse. Okay, so we'll be starting the fourth verse. Okay, good. Okay, so here we are. I want to go ahead and start. After this, there was a feast at the Jews, and Jesus, the Jews and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now let me go ahead and explain something to you. I have some maps here, and this is the map, and if you can see this. So Jesus, when he healed the little boy, he was up in Capernaum, up here, up by number 6, up here. And the Bible says that Jesus and the disciples went up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is right down here. Jerusalem is about 126 kilometers from Capernaum, or about 80 miles from Capernaum. But the Bible says that Jesus went up to Jerusalem because that is a topographical up, not a distant up, like going down on the map. Because Jerusalem is much, much higher than Capernaum is. So Jesus was down here in Capernaum, and they went up into Jerusalem. And so that's where that, you know, most people would say, well, that doesn't make much sense, but that is, you know, that is what's going on there, amen? Okay, so there are seven Jewish people, there were seven Jewish feasts that even observed to today. And the scriptures do not tell us which one of these feasts, you know, which really doesn't have any real significance. It was like the man in the last couple of verses of chapter 4, we don't know what the man's or the father's name was because that's not really, really important. But oddly, it would seem that the disciples and even Jesus at times would keep the feast strangely, how they would mix the law with the foundations of grace. And that is a term, as I said, you know, to go up into Jerusalem. Now, it's kind of a strange truth here, but Jesus was a wonderful Jew. Amen?
Yeah.
Jesus was a wonderful Jew, and Jesus kept the law. Jesus kept the law, and he also fulfilled the law. And even after Jesus died and was buried and, you know, was resurrected and went to heaven, the disciples even went to the temple and kept the law. Who has Acts 3 and 1? Acts 3 and 1, please.
Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour.
Amen. So here are the disciples. This is the book of Acts. After Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples were still going to the temple and praying and even keeping the law. So that was just kind of a, you know, and we can talk about that a little later, and I can tell you why that happened. But anyways, we're not going to, that'll be for another subject. So for the next verse. Now there in Jerusalem, by there was a market pool, which is called to the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in your packet, you should see a little map here. And that should give you a little idea. This is Jerusalem in Jesus' day. And you can see right up here in the left-hand corner is where the pool of Bethesda is. And it's right there, it says Bethesda Pool. And there is the sheep gate right there. And so this is where this incident happened in the Bible. And it is right there at the pool of Bethesda. There's even a hospital in around Maryland called Bethesda Hospital that I avoided with everything in me not to go to when I was in the Navy and as a corpsman. Amen? So anyway, in the tongue, Bethesda, which means five porches. There were 10 pools in Jerusalem at the time of Christ. The pool of Bethesda was the seventh pool, and of course the word seven the number seven is always God's number. So here in the seventh pool and capability, it was near the sheep gate, and so we saw that. And there were 8 gates in Jerusalem, and so, you know, I added that. Spiritually speaking, there was much movement in this area. God always provides an understanding in his word and action if we have patience and revelation to understand that. So let me share that again. God always provides an understanding to spiritual things in our life, spiritual things in even other people's life, if we have the patience and revelation to understand that. God is always providing. God is always providing. But do we have the patience and revelation? Patience and revelation are two requirements in our life for us to be able to receive the things of God. Wow. Let me say that again. Take a note. I'd write that down. Patience and revelation is two things in our life that we must have moving in our life so that we'll be able to receive the things of God. We will not be able to receive the things of God if we have no patience and we have no revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Because it is out of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and out of us patiently waiting, as we wait on the Lord, as we patiently wait on the Lord, that He will give us revelation who He is, and as we get that revelation, then we'll get revelation of what is moving in our life. Most people say, I don't understand what's going on. Well, they don't understand because they're not patiently waiting for that revelation to come. Amen? So patience and revelation are very, very important in our life. And as I go on, you'll see where I'm going with this. And these laid a great multitude of impotent people that were blind, that were halt, they were withered, and they were waiting for a movement of the water. And so basically what happened when once every 3 months, an angel would come down and would trouble the waters, and then as he troubled the waters, the first person in the water was healed. Amen? You know, there was no prayer, was none of that stuff. But anyway, as the angel came down and he troubled the waters, then the first person in the water, and so if you had a friend, that was a really good thing. But unfortunately, this man here, he lay 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. That's what the Bible says, and we're getting there. 38 years, because he had nobody to help him into the water when the angel came. Can you imagine laying there for 38 years and seeing the angel or seeing the water start churning and you can't get there? Wow. He's being healed because he was first in the water. I tell you, I just couldn't imagine that, amen. So that's basically, you know, what was going on with all of these people. And then who has Mark 1 through 14?
Mark 1 through 14?
Yes, sir.
Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God.
The gospel of what?
Gospel of God.
The gospel of God, okay. I think in the King James Version it says that, you know, the gospel of God. So when Jesus came to the earth, he did not come with the gospel that we know today, the gospel of grace, because Jesus hasn't died yet. At that time, Jesus came, he came bringing the gospel of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And we know that the kingdom of God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so here are these people that are laying there sick and halt and blind, and they can't get into the water to be healed. And it was the only way for them to be healed. I thought that was just amazing that God made a way for these people, even though, you know, they weren't Christians or whatever, but God made a way for these people to be healed. And so anyways, here comes Jesus, not with the gospel message that we know, right? But Jesus comes with a different message. The good news, remember gospel just means good news, right? So Jesus came with this different message. And it wasn't the, you know, being saved by grace, you know, Ephesians 2 and 8, but it was the kingdom of God. He came to bring the kingdom of God. And Romans tells us what the kingdom of God is, and that is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the message that Jesus came to bring. And that's the message that Jesus wanted the Jewish nation to get a hold of. Wow. And if they could have got that message, if they could have got the message of that joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit, in God, then they would have been able to, well, things I believe would have turned out a lot different. Amen. verse 4, for an angel went down and, you know, troubled the waters and so forth. So God made, you know, he made a way, even though religious, to get to give the people that had no hope, they gave them hope. Now, God, you know, remembered them. Yes, he did. And God is not after tradition and ritual. No, he's not. God is after us coming into a personal relationship with him.
Amen.
Even though God made a way for these people, this is not what God was looking for in his relationship with Jesus Christ for us. God, Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God. And in coming into the kingdom of God, then we come into a relationship with the Father. So if we do not come into a relationship with the Father, it is because we have not, believe it or not, come into the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is not the kingdom of heaven. That's two separate things. The kingdom of heaven is heaven itself, which is going to come down. Amen? It's going to come down to the earth. The new Jerusalem. Yeah, yeah. The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is within us, the Bible says. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. And once we come into that kingdom of God, because if you don't come into the kingdom of God, you may not make it to the kingdom of heaven. So we need to come into the kingdom of God so that we can someday go to heaven. Amen?
Yeah.
So God wants us to come into that personal relationship with him. And he'll even use sickness sometimes to make that happen. And out of that, our obedience to him, we come to a greater level of servanthood and service to him and man. So this has just been kind of like a little background, intro. And notice, out of our obedience to God, because now I'm going to start, talking about some deeper things in the Lord. Verse number 5, and a certain man was there with an infirmity 38 years, and he could not get into the water because he really didn't have some. And I'm not going to insult your intelligence by reading all of this, so I'm just going to talk through it. So this man, he was laying there, and God knows our infirmities. Amen. Who has Romans 8:26?
Oh, I think that's me.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us,
yes,
with unspoken groaning.
Amen.
Amen. So Romans 8:26 tells us that God knows our infirmities. The Bible says he knows our frames. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strength. You know, it's better that we know our weaknesses than our strengths. Everybody wants to know how strong you are. God doesn't care how strong you are. He knows how strong you are. God is concerned about us knowing our weaknesses, because it's not our strengths that will, that will get us in trouble. What gets us in trouble is our weaknesses. And so God knows these weaknesses. Now, this is the spiritual principle that we must all come to. We must all come to this understanding that God knows our frame. Amen?
Amen.
Well, in the black church, I'd say, can I get a witness?
Amen.
We must understand that God knows us, and he knows our weaknesses, and he knows our strengths, and he knows everything about us. Everything. Most Christians don't believe that. Oh, God, he doesn't know everything. God knows everything. Everything about us. And when we come to that understanding that God knows us, he really knows us. He knows the hairs of our head. How many's there? I just lost some hair. But he knows that. And we must come to an understanding to believe that God really does know that. Wow. As I said, a lot of Christians do not, you really don't believe that. Amen? Verse number 7. So when Jesus saw him, he knew that, how long he's been laying there in that time, and he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Wow, what a statement, okay? So here's this man been laying there by this pool for 38 years. No one can put him into the water. And this guy comes up to him and says, "Would you like to be healed? Would you like to be made whole?" No. I think I would probably say, yes, I would like that. I would like to be made whole. So Jesus saw this man and he had compassion on him. Since the man, Jesus, spoke to him, God always makes the first move to us, and this is important. God always makes the first move toward us, and our part is to receive his approach with gladness. God always makes the first move to us. When we were yet in sin, Christ died for us, right? God always makes the first approach. Our part is not rejecting that. Our part is to receive his reproach in gladness. Even when we've been walking with the Lord for 20 or 30 years, our job is to receive that approach with gladness. Especially if the Holy Spirit has convicted us of some sin in our life, we are to receive that approach of the Lord with gladness so that we can be healed. So the impotent man answered him, "Yes, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I was coming under the steps down before me." The man's lack of hearing was not due to to interest, but to a lack of means. Amen. Has that conversation, and it goes on. He did not need someone to put him into the water. That man did not need someone to put him into the water. That man needed to know who he was talking to. He didn't need someone to put him into the water. He needed a Savior. He needed someone and so of course it goes on, and Jesus said unto him, "Rise up and take your bed and walk." Can you imagine that? He's laying there by the pool, and this stranger comes up and says, "Pick up your bed and walk." Well, he's been laying there for 38 years. He can't walk. He can't walk. He's been laying there for 38 years. He's laying on a bed, a little mat, and he can't walk. So this guy says, "Take up your bed and walk." Wow. This is what's going to get really good, I promise you. The bed was a little light mat, the pallet of, it was porous and whatever, which could be easily rolled up and carried away. And the man's healing was not dependent. Now listen, the man's healing was not dependent on Jesus' power or his authority, but on the obedience to the man of Jesus. Wow. So that guy being healed did not matter on God's power or authority. Anytime the Lord does for us something, it's not because God is all-powerful, and he is, and he can do all of these things, and he can, but anything that we get from God, we get from God because of our obedience to him.
Amen.
Amen. So we have to hear God speak, and he speaks and he tells us what to do, and then we move in obedience to him, and then we get what we're looking for. Amen. Now this is a very, very important point. This is a divine spiritual principle. My mother, she's with the Lord now, and I can honestly say, of all the people that I've met in the world, when I do a funeral, I never put someone in heaven or hell, because I don't know, I'm not God. God puts people in heaven or hell. But I could possibly say that the only person that I would ever believe that I could put in heaven would be my mom. Because I have never, ever met a more spiritual woman in my life. Matter of fact, when I was 6 years old, and I'll be 70 next year, when I was 6 years old, she led me to the Lord. And so I saw her life, up close and personal. And I could tell you stories that make your hair stand up. But anyways, I would put her in heaven. But anyway, so my father was in Vietnam in 1968, my mom came down with cancer. This stuff was just coming out of her lady's parts, And so, devout Christian, and so the Lord spoke to my mother and said, "Beverly, go to a Catherine Kuhlman crusade in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I will heal you." And she said, "Okay, I can't drive." And so she called a friend, you know, Bert, Lance, and his wife, and they came by and they picked her up, and they drove her about 2.5 hours from Ridgely, West Virginia to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to a Catherine Kuhlman. Who's ever heard of Catherine Kuhlman?
Yeah.
Okay. So a Catherine Kuhlman crusade, and you know, they helped my mom in, and you know, the service didn't start yet, and so, you know, they was helping her in, and when she stepped inside of the crusade, when she stepped inside the door, she said it was like lightning, liquid lightning, and Daryl, you probably can relate to some of that. She said it was like liquid lightning that just kind of started at her head and just went to her toes. And she said she was like, you don't know what a fizzy is?
Yes.
Fizzy? She said her body felt like a fizzy, and that's something they had in the 20s and 30s. But anyway, it was a fizzy. Okay, yeah, and you know, she said this power just, you know, she was just, you know, and she turned around, and she knew without a shadow of a doubt that she was healed. So you know what she did? She turned around, she left with Bert and Kitty Lance. They got back in the car. They drove 2.5 hours back to Ridgely, West Virginia. Catherine Kuhlman never knew she was there. Didn't know, you know, I mean, because that's not what God, he didn't say, meet Catherine Kuhlman, have Catherine Kuhlman lay hands on you and pray for you. The command was, go to a Catherine Kuhlman crusade. And she went, you know, where they met, and she was healed, and she went back.
Her obedience healed.
Correct, correct. That's right. And that's where I'm going with that. Amen? And it was the same with this man right here. It was the same with this man here. Jesus told this man to get up and take your bed and walk. Amen?
Right.
That's what he told him to do. Now, if he would not have gotten up and taken his bed, he probably would have not been healed. Amen? So it is not the question, can God heal us? Because he asked the guy, he says, do you want to be healed? Well, yes, he wants to be healed. But it's not the question of can God heal us, because God can heal us. He can do anything. He's God. That's not the question, his power or his authority. But the question is if, you know, can we hear him speak to us? You know, can we hear him? Can we hear him, and will we do what he wants us to do?
Amen.
Now that brings us to a very important denominational question. There's a lot of denominations out there that say, no, stand on the word of God, brother. Stand on the word of God, and you got to stand on the word, and you got to believe this, and you got to believe that. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and when we hear from God, then we get, and then we hear from God, God will tell us what to do. And if we hear from God, and then we will do what he tells us to do, we will be healed. This man here, if he would have just laid there, he wouldn't have been healed. He had to actually get up, and take up his bed and leave.
Amen.
That's where the healing came in. The healing came in the obedience to the Lord. So that brings us to another important question. How important is hearing from God? It is critical. Hearing from God is the difference between success and failure in the Lord. Let me say that again. Hearing from God is the difference between success and failure in the Lord. If we cannot hear from God, then we will not be able to do those things that he wants us to do. If I ask my wife to do something for me, or she doesn't, she asks me to do something. If I don't hear her, then I can't do it. But if I hear my wife, who I love very much, I'm married to the best woman in the world, and every husband better say that, amen?
Amen.
But if, you know, if I love my wife, and so if she speaks to me and I hear her, then I can be obedient and I can do what she wants me to do. And that's no different than God. We must be able to hear from the Lord. We must be able to hear God speak to us, and then whatever he wants us to do, we do it, and then we will be healed. Amen? Let's see. Let's see. So let's go down. So, you know, I moved through a lot there. So let's go ahead and look at the verse 12. Then asked, you know, they him, what man is that which has come unto thee? He says, take up thy bed and walk. Who has 2 Corinthians 3 and 6? 2 Corinthians 3 and 6.
Who also hath made us able or sufficient ministers of the New Testament or New Covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life.
Wow, amen. Did you get that? The law killeth. The law killeth, but the Spirit of God, when we hear His voice, the Spirit of God is what gives us life, not the law. Now the law, the keeping of the law, is our schoolmaster, and the law brings us to God. The Bible says in the Ten Commandments, do not kill, do not commit murder, do not commit adultery, so forth and so on. And we can't do that without the help of God. That is the law. But if we can keep the law, the Ten Commandments, all of our life, and die and go to hell.
Amen.
The Ten Commandments will not save us. That's the law. What saved us is our faith in Jesus Christ. And that is the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit gives us life. The Spirit is what gives us the opportunity and the ability to worship God. The law will go ahead and just kind of end us. And it brings us and it shows us how bad we are. And there we are, we're just, you know, you're a bad, evil person, and you need the Lord. But unless you can hear from the Lord, you will not be able to receive, you know, that touch from the Lord. Amen? The last verse here, and he that was healed was not, who was it, he? For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Jesus was not wishing to unduly incite the multitudes by his presence as passed. Jesus did not make a scene or argue with the Jewish leaders. No, he didn't. How refreshing to see someone not concerned about being in the limelight, getting their name up in lights. God's superstars do not have their names up in lights. They are faithful, assuming, and they are godly, amen. They are faithful and they are assuming and they are godly. And I want to go ahead and I just want to emphasize this one point here. If the man had not taken up his bed, he would not have been healed. Would not have been healed. Anytime we hear and obey, we move in the life of God. Let me say that again. Anytime that we hear and obey what God has for us in our life, then we are moving in the life of God. And so tonight we looked at faith cometh by hearing, very, very important. Then after we hear, then we have to move in obedience to what God wants us to do. And if we do not move in obedience to what God, and again, I don't care how long you believe and standing on the promises and believing for that and believing for this. If God doesn't speak it, guess what? It's not going to happen, Allison. I don't care how long you believe, if God does not speak it, it's just not going to happen. God has to speak it before anything can happen. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and your many mercies, Father. Lord, thank you for this word, Father, Lord. Help us to be obedient hearers, Father, Lord God. Let us hear your word, Father, Lord, so that we can move in your life, Father, so that we can move in those things that you have for us. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father. We thank you for this word. Lord, lay this word in our heart and help us, Father, Lord God, ever to be ever faithful to you. And we praise these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. Amen.